It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Last night, A&E canceled their extremely popular police-based reality show, Live PD. In a statement, the network referenced the, quote, critical time in our nation's history as a reason for the move, a presumptive nod to the protests against police brutality that have gripped the nation for the past 2 weeks. A&E's decision to cancel Live PD comes days after the Paramount Network canceled its popular reality police show, Cops, after a 30-year run. And while it's still unclear whether the nationwide protest influenced Paramount to cancel Cops, for years, both shows have been criticized for disproportionately featuring poor people and people of color as criminals and glorifying aggressive police conduct. Joining me now to talk about all this is Dan Taberski, the host of the Running From Cops podcast, an investigative series into the show and its impact on the country. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be here.
So big news, right before we were going to do this segment, A&E canceled Live PD. Were you surprised?
Yeah. Honestly, I was shocked. Cops has been on for years and years and years, but in the past few years, Live PD has exponentially eclipsed it in terms of popularity. And you have to remember that it's not just that they canceled this one show, Live PD. A&E is built around this show. The last time I counted, and you have to count a lot because it changes all the time, there were 6 spinoffs of Live PD on A&E alone. And so it is just a huge moneymaker for them. And so I knew the bar was going to be higher for them to give it a rethink. But it happened, and I'm really happy.
So I want to talk about that because we'll just get right into it. I mean, you mentioned A&E has about 6 spinoffs of this, and I want to go even further and say a lot of basic cable really focuses on this sort of industry of incarceration and criminality. I mean, I'm thinking the reality shows Life After Lockup. I'm thinking Before mm-hmm. People Get Locked Up, Live PD, The First 48, 60 Days In. Like, all of these are shows that really focus on policing, criminality, and incarceration. How has this become such an important and big genre for basic cable?
Well, it's cheap. That counts. For basic cable, you can make a lot of them with a little bit of money. It's visceral. You know, I mean, Cops was designed from the very beginning to scare the crap out of people.
To scare the crap out of who?
Out of viewers. Viewers like to be scared. It was like, it's funny. I interviewed the one of the creators of Cops, and they were talking about how when they were making it, it was almost like making a horror movie, and that you just want to make it as scary as possible. And that's part of the thrill of watching it. And it created the idea over the past few decades that the only thing standing between you, the viewer, and all that chaos that they're portraying on the show is the thin blue line. And so, you know, it serves the police because it bolsters their image. It serves the networks because it gives them easy ratings, and it doesn't serve the people who are on the show.
Well, let's talk about that, because I wonder how much input the police had on the show in terms of was this meant to glorify policing?
You know, one of the things we found out, and I had an inkling before we started, but I didn't realize how pervasive it was, with the show Cops, ever since the first season, the police departments that participate, and it's been over 150 police departments across the country, the police departments that participate have contractual final cut. So in the contracts they sign with the production company, it says that they can remove anything they want to from the show if they deem it something that they don't want it in there. So already the police are contractually, legally controlling the message, which is, I think it's shocking to most viewers that catch it once they find that out. And once you find that out, it explains a lot. In the very beginning, Cops, you know, it started in 1989, right when the war on drugs was picking up. And it really, truly helped sell the war on drugs to the American people. You know, the war on drugs was really violent. And it sort of said that we need police to use these really violent tactics to tamp down on drug use. And it was flashy. And it helped sell that method of policing to people as something that was necessary.
The quote-unquote war on drugs from the 90s was something that also disproportionately affected Black and brown Americans, mm-hmm. poor Americans, inner city folk, yeah. To use that term. In your analysis of Cops over the years, was there a disparity in the frequency of that showed people of color being arrested as opposed to white people? Or, I mean, because to me, what I always took away from Cops was it always focused on poor people for the majority.
Yeah, so in the very beginning, the NAACP called up cops in the first season, and they said, you guys are showing all your criminals as black and brown people. And the show Cops actually changed because of that, but they changed in a really creepy way, and that they just decided to focus on poor white communities, right? And so it always focuses on poor and working class people. And so that's the sort of texture you get after seeing Cops for the past 30 years, is that you do see a lot of poor white people being arrested. Overall, the numbers of black and brown people being arrested and white people being arrested are about the same as FBI data shows. And that's not acknowledging at all the potential and probable discrepancies with the way police actually decide to arrest these people, but it matches the FBI data. What we did find in our data, and we watched 847 episodes of the show and did a really detailed data analysis, is that Cops front loads crime by people of color. So basically, if 48% of people of color committing violent crime on the show Cops, it's shown in the first 7 minutes of the show. And it's very similar with drug crime. It's just about 50%. Whereas for white people committing those same crimes, they only front load about 24%. And so what that says, as somebody who's been a television producer, and I've made reality shows, not quite like Cops, but similar things. You know that if you're making a television show, you need to put the most catchy stuff up front. You need to hook your viewers in. And so it begs the question, why did the producers of that show for the past 30 years, consciously or unconsciously, think that crime by people of color was what people wanted to see?
And I'm going to ask you to sort of take that further and interpret perhaps the effect that that's had on the American public. I mean, this is a show that we all know. We all know the theme song for it. This is something that's been around for 30 some odd seasons. So what effect has that had on the way that Americans view policing, criminality, and the people who are caught up in this?
I mean, it's a combination of things. It changes the way that Americans look at who is committing crime. It also changes the way that Americans look at the efficacy of policing. On the show Cops, 99% of chase scenes on the show Cops end in arrest. That is nowhere near the reality in real life. And so it creates this illusion that, if something happens, the police should chase them because they're going to get them. But that's just not what happens. It also creates an image of a world that's much more violent than is in reality. 3 times the amount of violent crime on Cops, 4 times the amount of drug crime, 10 times the amount of prostitution. And so it just creates this world that really bolsters the need for not just policing, but a certain type of policing that that, as we know, disproportionately impacts communities of color.
Dan, I want to ask you about something that happened recently with Live PD. They were under scrutiny and receiving a lot of criticism for a violent arrest that the producers on that show witnessed. What can you tell us about that?
I mean, you know as much as I do, Live PD hasn't been super transparent about that. I mean, there was a case in Williamson County where Williamson County, Texas, a person drove by with headlights that weren't dimmed, and there was a camera in the car from Live PD, and so the police decided to chase the person, tase the person, and ultimately kill the person. And then Live PD deleted the footage, which just seems so egregious, and it has to be part of the reason why the show was canceled. It just shows how skewed the priorities are of a show like that when you try to turn policing into entertainment. And it makes you ask the question, when you put a camera in the car with a police officer, what is he focusing on? Is he focusing on good policing, or is he focusing on good entertainment? And those are two very different things.
We did reach out to Paramount to see if the protests that are happening around the country may have spurred their decision to cancel Cops in its 33rd season right now. Do you have any insight into that, Dan? We haven't heard back from them yet.
No, I don't have any insight into what went into that decision, but that's what happened.
That's most likely. And I just want to... Go ahead.
No, it was just, it's been on the air for so long, and it's one of those things, especially a show like Cops, like, people aren't paying attention to it. It's like wallpaper, right? It's on 15, sometimes 20 times a day because it's on syndication and on cable. But it's not prestige television. So people aren't writing, critics aren't writing about it. Like, it's not something that sort of bubbles up as something that needs to be talked about culturally. It's just this sort of message that lies in the background. It gets ratings, it makes them money, and the people who are into the show watch it, and it continues to confirm that message. And I think when a moment like this happens, which is exciting and thrilling, I think it's just the kind of thing, like, the very least you can do is decide that, you know what, let's stop it with the entertainment cameras in police department cars. That is just the most obvious first step.
Police around the country right now have cameras of their own. Many of them are wearing body cameras when they're handling their arrests and interactions with the public. I'm noticing an uptick in news, in nightly news, for example, local news, using a lot of police body cam footage. Are you seeing that? Is that a way to sort of continue this bird's eye view into how police, you know, engage, if you will, or arrest people through their own body cameras versus a production?
Well, interestingly enough, one of the things that irked me the most about Live PD is that one of their spinoffs was called Live PD PD Cam. And basically all it was repurposed body cam footage from police. And so they would go and they would canvass the country and they would get body cam footage that they could get from police departments, that body cam footage that was ostensibly meant for transparency to begin with, right? That was the whole point. But they would use it for entertainment. They would take the flashiest ones and they would make entertainment shows and make millions of dollars off this material that was meant for transparency in the first place. It certainly seems like you're just seeing such a different perspective on what people are experiencing when they're policed, as opposed to what entertainment shows want you to see when they're working with police departments filming the police. And the fact that people have cameras on their phones just makes it possible.
Dan Taberski is the host of the Running From Cops podcast, an investigative series into the show Cops. Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you kidding? Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.